And then in other news,
bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
This is from 1980.
Yep. The worst today.
They've been terrorizing the world for 45 years.
Yes. Yep.
And I didn't write this song, by the way.
No. Some rocks. It was Brackles. Ayatollah gonna put
you
in a box,
bomb, Iran. You know, we were celebrating Pepe's 100 years of making great pizza.
Yep.
While the United States was celebrating 45 years of Iran being dicks. You know, and it's not the people. The people are great.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
all just want the same thing we do. They want peace for their kids.
Yeah.
They're ruled by an evil dictator who, if they disagree with this person, they will kill you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's man. Bad.
Right in blinking. Yep.
It's bad. On the show right now is Michael Shurkin. He's a national security expert, former CIA, former RAND, independent consultant and director of global programs at 14th North Strategies. He recently published an article entitled, quote, "Yes, Bomb Iran." So I'm guessing you have no problem with what happened over the weekend.
No, not at all. I think it was necessary. It maybe should have been done 40 years. No, it definitely should have been done 40 years ago.
Right.
But no, I don't.
So, you know, the argument is that they weren't building a nuclear weapon. They were building a nuclear facility.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I go to IKEA, I buy a Billy bookcase, I drag it home, I open up the box, I have all the parts all over the place, and then I'm going to say, oh, I'm not building a bookcase. Right. Like,
right.
Clearly you are and trying to and will. And unfortunately, that's a country that we really can't trust with a nuclear weapon. And it would be a disaster for everybody if they were to get one.
Run us through Operation Midnight Hammer.
So, I mean, I obviously I only know what everybody else knows from the press, but it looks like it was this very long flight involving B-2s and tankers.
So wait, you were in the CIA. You can't like call one of your CIA buddies that's still there and be like, hey, so like what really happened?
Off the record, you know.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I mean, first of all, you know, one thing you need to know about the CIA, by the way, is that people who are analysts and people who are what they call operations, generally, like, they don't share information. So even if I was like an Iran analyst, and I would know nothing about that. Like, whatever was going on in terms of operations, I'd have no idea. So that's just one thing that's useful to know.
Okay, so if someone told you they were coming out with a hot oil pizza, but they hadn't announced it yet, you wouldn't go on the air and say they're coming out with a hot oil pizza.
Well,
who would do that?
Yeah.
Who would do something stupid like that? Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But also, if they were going to Pepe's, I would tell them to get me some, too.
Nice.
But they don't have. Yeah. So I think that, you know, so basically the idea is that they sent these B-2s with these gigantic bunker-busting bombs, and they targeted these sites. And then the real question is, I mean, they know enough. Between Israel and the United States, they have a good idea of where everything is exactly and what you need to do. But the question now, so that's what they bombed. So that's why they needed these big bombers with these very precision weapons in order to hit exactly the sites that they needed to hit. You know, it's not like, you know, in World War II, where if you want to hit one bridge, you basically level the entire city because you don't have the accuracy, whereas this is very, very, very precise. But the real question is whether or not what they did worked. And
right. I was going to ask you that. How do you find out? Like, this would be your job, right? And is it now the CIA's job to try to figure out what was destroyed?
Yeah. So there are also ways you do that. I mean, one thing is like the satellite imagery. And if you look on, you know, like on Twitter or X, whatever they call it these days, you'll see all these people examining these photographs. But the photographs only tell you so much. Ultimately, the best way is whether or not you have penetrated the government. So that you've got people inside the Iranian government or the ability to intercept what they're saying to one another.
Right.
So that somebody, you know, somebody goes down there and says, like, holy crap, this bomb just completely destroyed this whole facility. And then you know, the Israelis pick that up or the Americans pick that up or somebody does.
So it'll take days, right? Because they're going to communicate that through, like, paper notes.
right? They're not going to, they're not dumb enough to like, hey, cell phone. Oh, holy crap.
Right.
You know,
saying pig Latin.
Well, they might. I mean, look, if Pete Hegseth was chatting with people on his, when like on their signal group,
I guess
so that's
you're right.
Possible.
Yeah. That's
I
a
mean,
good point.
It's hard to know how, what the practices are. Like, are they doing it on WhatsApp or are they using some special methods? They're capable of doing the special stuff. They're smart enough and they're savvy enough, but that doesn't necessarily mean. But either way, the optimistic view is that given it's very obvious the extent to which the Israelis, at the very least, have penetrated the Iranians and the Iranian intelligence services, and the stuff that they've been able to pull off is extraordinary, which means that it's entirely likely that the Israelis have enough access to information that they would be able to find out whether or not the bombings worked. But that's just a supposition. So maybe it's true, and I certainly hope it's true, but I don't know if it's true. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people have long been saying you can't bomb this stuff because you'll never know if it worked. I don't think that's true that you'll never know. I think we can, but it's a question of how good is your intelligence? But other than that, like,
do you think the U.S.
people?
Do you think the U.S. knew it was going to get involved when Israel started taking out various sites there? It was almost like, okay, Israel, you get it, so we can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's been lots of chatter about who did what, who knew what. You know, some people say that Trump was in on this from the very beginning. He was playing this brilliant game. Others are saying that Netanyahu manipulated him. I have no idea. But I can say that it's very clear after all the stuff that's gone on since October 7 that this was a remarkable window of opportunity because Israel had so destroyed Iran's air defenses that it was just ripe, like it was ripe for the picking. So after 40-some years of thinking about doing this, now suddenly the timing couldn't be better. Like now was the opportunity. And I think that's why Israel went and did this. And it's not about how, oh, they were 1 week from making a bomb or 1 month or 1 year. It's like it's now or never because they had already done such damage. Israel had already done such damage to the Iranian military and Iran's ability to cause harm that all the things that we were afraid of that Iran could do in reaction, that was gone. Most of the bad things that Iran could do in order to punish anybody, to deter people from attacking them, was off the table. So now's the time to do it. And I think the Pentagon understood that. I think Trump understood that. And I think certainly the Israelis understood that.
What's the difference between a MOP, the bombs that we dropped,
that they use,
and the MOAB? Is it the same thing?
No, I think the I feel like I'd have to Google MOAB, but I'm pretty
MOAB
sure that the MOAB
is the mother of all bombs.
Right.
And Trump dropped one when he first became president, I think just to show the world, it's like, right. I got one and I can use it.
I've arrived, yes.
Yeah, so I think that the MOAB, the biggest difference is the penetrating thing. The MOAB has this penetrating thing. And the idea is that this thing doesn't just hit the ground and go off. What this thing does is it buries into the ground and it goes deep, and then it goes off.
It's 30,000 pounds, and most of the weight comes from the shell, so it can penetrate.
It deep cleans.
Right. It's deeply penetrating, and that's important because the Iranians buried their stuff underground.
How far down?
Whereas I think the MOAB is more like if you want to take out a city and you don't want to use a nuke, a MOAB will take out the city. But that's not what you need. What we need is to go deep, deep, deep.
Right.
Yeah, that something that's buried underground.
Yeah. I got you. That makes sense. How deep down were those nuclear facilities?
Oh, I don't know offhand, to be honest.
Really? But imagine being the night watchman that night. It's like, oh, damn it. This is my night. It has to be my night.
Calling into the radio. You guys aren't going to believe this.
I could just imagine the thing going off and somebody's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Like, uh-oh.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So probably, you know, but a couple of reasons why they do it in the middle of the night. One, taken by surprise.
Yeah.
Two, the, you know, cover of darkness. But three, not a lot of regular people going to be in those facilities.
Activity, yeah.
Yes, yeah, I think that's true. You're not
but wouldn't it be better if you got the regular people in there? Because they're the smart ones, right? Like, we didn't get the smart ones.
Right.
But
the
9-to-5ers?
Yeah.
Like, the scientists, the nuclear scientists were not in the building.
Right, the guys with white coats, yeah.
Yeah, but they seem to be getting the nuclear scientists by through other means.
Oh, yeah.
So
Israel.
A lot of those guys have been taken out.
Gotcha.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder about that sometimes. You know, like they just bombed Israel, just bombed the headquarters of something called the Besiege, which is sort of like those are like the thugs who go around beating people up.
Oh, wow.
You know, you almost want to do that during the day when everybody's there, right?
Right.
But I don't think they did. I think they did it at night.
Yeah.
I think it's about the optics. You don't want to kill people. You know, you want to, I don't know. These are complicated decisions.
The Persian people are good people, and they hate this regime, correct?
Look, it's impossible to say for anybody to know how much support the regime has inside the country. Some people support it, some people don't. I think a lot of people definitely don't like it, and it's very clear that there's a large portion of people who are very hostile to the regime and would be delighted if it's out. We just don't know what percentage. We don't know. But in terms of the risk is, the risk that Israel and the U.S. take is that if you bomb them, then people are going to rally behind the flag, even if they hate the regime. That is entirely possible. But it is true, and this is really very important, that nobody I know that have ever has any particular beef with the Iranian people. It's not about the country; it's about that government. Because before that government was around, everything was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Everything was fine.
Very, very Western. Yeah.
Now this goes back. You know, there was the Shah.
Yeah.
And they overthrew. And the Shah left.
Yep.
And then they took our hostages. Remember, 52 yeah. American hostages. It was a very long time. Jimmy Carter was president.
I'm old enough to remember.
He sent the helicopter mission over. It failed. They were dragging human pilots through the streets and burning the bodies. It was horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Carter lost. Reagan was elected. And as Reagan was being sworn in, they released the hostages.
Yeah.
But it's been a nightmare with them. Since then,
longest time.
And they've been, you know, funding terrorist groups and just hasn't been, they're just not nice. They're not nice neighbors.
No, they're terrible neighbors.
Terrible neighbors. Hold on. Somebody wants to chime in here. Mark, can you make a quick point? Mark?
Okay, that was quick.
Mark?
Oh, no. They got him.
Well, Mark.
All right. We tried.
Get to go.
All right.
He's been silenced.
Yeah.
Right.
He had a counterpoint. To your points, but all right. Well, thanks for coming on. What do you think is next? What would concern you as a former CIA operative or whatever you were?
Okay, so the thing I'm concerned with are two cards they've got to play. One is to do something like close the Straits of Hormuz, which would be like holding a gun to the global economy because all the oil that goes through there. Although I don't think they're going to do that because the people they hurt most is China. That would be really bad for China. The other card that they could play if they wanted to is international terrorism. I mean, in the 90s, they blew up the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and they killed, I think, 85 people. You know, so I could imagine them, like, I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that, to, like, blow up the Jewish Community Center in, I don't know if there's one in New Haven or East Haven, like, in, you know, just one of those places.
The wild card is that Trump's in office.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
that's the thing. It's not if you're him, do you at 86 years old, do you want to start getting into it with Trump?
Seriously,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he's dangerous but he's unpredictable. So you don't know. And because he's unpredictable,
which one, Trump or
Trump?
They're both dangerous and they're both unpredictable. Like if I'm that 86 year old guy,
just because. Look, Khamenei is dangerous because he's evil. Trump isn't evil, but Trump is unpredictable.
Right.
And so that's a dangerous situation. You've got these two old men. One is evil. One is unpredictable. And things could get complicated.
Sounds like a bad Mike Myers movie.
Right.
Like an Austin Powers movie, you know?
So. One's evil, one's unpredictable.
Michael Shurkin, thanks for your service to the country. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Congratulations, Bristol. You made dumbass news.
Oh boy, it's time for dumbass news.
99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ dumbass news.
Hey, look, kids.
Dumbass.
AJ.
Hi. Hi. Hi, great kids. Really, guys. It's hot outside. Go inside.
Go inside.
Go inside.
Go inside.
Go inside was cold.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah. I thought you'd be telling them to go outside.
No. I'd be a
monster.
Go
out and play in this heat.
I'd be a monster.
At least he's not sending them to school anymore.
No.
Comedian Vince Barry in studio.
Hey, good morning.
Bristol man arrested after becoming stuck in a chimney.
Oh.
See this guy's mugshot?
Yes.
Thank you to Mike Sanborn, tribe member who sent the story in to us. A Bristol man was arrested on Sunday, which would be yesterday, after allegedly on a charge of burglary at Rockwell Park, police said. Carlos Owens, 35, who looks proud as hell in his mugshot.
He does. He does. Achieved. Arrived.
Allegedly snuck into a building that he was not permitted to be in.
Oh, see? That's bad.
How did he sneak in, you asked?
How did he do that?
He went in the chimney.
Oh, see, Grinch style.
He does look pretty happy. Well, he's not in the chimney anymore. I'd be happy about that.
Happy to be out of
the chimney. Yeah, sure, the music goes on.
What's his name?
That's him going to the chimney.
Is that music from the Flintstones?
You got to have the music, yes. Right? And, of course, he's got to go walk across for.
Which episode is this from?
I don't know. Anyone.
Okay.
They always had that music, though, when someone's, like, you know, entering.
Like they're being sneaky.
Right, yeah. That little fast pace line. Yep. So he doon-doon-doon.
And they tiptoe.
Right.
So that's the music that was playing as he was climbing down the chimney.
Right, then it ramps up as he's walking through.
No, I think the music is doon-doon-doon-doon-doon.
Uh-oh.
Record scratch.
Yeah, it's like doon-doon-doon-doon-doon. A little help, please. A little help. That's the awkward moment. You're stuck in a chimney. It's like, I can't get my cell phone.
Right. Yeah. All you can do is yell.
Oh, man. I'm too claustrophobic.
Yeah, no. I'm just thinking about
it.
Couldn't do it.
Nope.
Yeah, then are you yelling? I need to know more about this story. Like, how did they find him?
Right. And then where's a spider like lands on your nose?
Yeah.
Great.
Were they like... that smells funny. It smells funny.
Every time the wind blows, I hear like bones rattling.
That has happened.
Yeah.
People have gotten stuck in chimneys and just died. Yep. And then the homeowner smells something weird and it's like,
that was a dead
guy.
Yep. Dead person. Yep. That is a terrible smell.
Death. So he got stuck in a chimney. Police had to rescue Owens from the chimney. During the rescue, the chimney was damaged.
Oops.
Oh, no.
She put like a whole bunch of pressure, like air at the bottom, just shoot him out.
Yeah. First pour butter down the top.
Right.
Yeah, right. Move it up.
And then boom.
Yeah, then pop him like a cork out of a bottle.
like a
champagne bottle.
Like a t-shirt cannon. Boom.
He lands in Terryville.
Wow. He landed in another chimney. Cool. We're going to second shot. This is awesome. This is the best time.
I'm picturing like one of those balloons that you jump on and like the other person goes flying up in the air.
Right.
Oh, that'd be another funny way to do it. You know, tie a rope from a helium balloon down to him.
Right.
Just start hitting the gas. Right.
Just hitting the gas.
Punk.
He was charged with the following: third degree burglary, first degree criminal trespass, first degree criminal mischief.
Great mugshot.
He was released on $50,000 bond.
Well,
can someone? We all know he didn't have $50,000.
Yeah,
and I know
he's got to get it now.
The old system used to be you could pay 10%, but you lose it forever.
Uh huh.
But you pay a bail bondsman 10%.
Right.
Right.
So $5,000.
Right.
But he didn't have $5,000 either.
No. Now he's going to steal some $5,000 worth of stuff.
So what, do they just let you sign your name and you get to walk out?
Make payments, I guess.
Yeah, they finance it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, 0% down. Yep.
Does he have to pay for the chimney?
I would imagine.
I think so.
Restitution, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a key piece of it, though.
I don't know.
I want to know more about this building, too. Like, this was the way you said, this is how I'm getting in.
Right. What was in
there? Did they not have a window?
Yeah, no window, no door?
Right. I would try those first.
Yeah, throw a rock through something. Yeah, look under
a hole in the roof, whatever.
Look under the mat for a key. Like, there's a lot of things you can
do
first.
Drive a car into the door. Done.
Right. Cutting a hole in the roof would have been easier than trying to get down the chimney.
Seriously, yeah. Or just steal a car and just ram the door.
And like, how far down did he get?
Right.
Was it like, oh my God, it's, like, was his head still popping out?
Right. I wanted to know that too. Right.
Yeah.
Was he almost there?
Right.
You could just see his toes like.
Yeah, like in The Grinch Stole Christmas.
Right.
When he's
right.
Going. Right.
All right. The Chaz and AJ Arts Television and Appliance Lodcast is happening July 3rd at your house.
Yes. Yours.
Not mine.
No.
Your house. Not
at
your house.
A house.
Yes. Not your house.
And we've narrowed, oh, man, so many entries.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Whose house are we going to destroy?
Whose?
We've narrowed it down to five. And let's talk to Jeff from Cheshire. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning.
Morning. All right. Why should we do it at your house?
Why not? My house, I got my homeowners paid up. You guys can tear it up and we can figure it out afterwards, I guess. Right?
He wants to renovate, apparently.
All right, he started that my insurance is paid up.
Right. That's key.
That's a good,
yeah,
good thing.
That's okay. Key, yes, yes.
All right.
But in all, it's, you know, it's a beautiful house backyard. It's nestled in a nice little old neighborhood in Cheshire, and
that's going to change.
Yeah, that could change. I still have to renovate the kitchen. That's the only room left to renovate in the house and the backyard too. So,
okay. And have you ever had the police over at your house?
Well,
really?
Yes.
Nice.
Uninvited or invited?
Well, more so invited because I'm a retired Cheshire police officer.
Oh, okay.
Oh well, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Oh, you're well, welcome. That helps us.
Right, right. It does.
They kind of knock at the door. They're like, Jeff!
Right.
Hey, yeah.
That's okay.
Okay, just tell them to quiet it down.
Right, right.
Okay. Right. All right, that helps. That helps.
Yeah.
What are your hobbies?
Hobbies, I should have more hobbies because technically, I'm retired, but I still go 7 days a week.
What do you mean, go 7 days a week?
Like resting people on your own?
I still work 7 days a week.
What do you do?
So my mainstay job during the week is I work for Bizzuto's in Cheshire.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Wow. Very cool.
And
so can you have one of their trucks pull up and, like, drop stuff off?
Like food? Maybe some ribs, stuff like that. Just, you know, just saying.
It's always a great time. They got the Hometown Foundation and Dream Ride is coming up too, so.
I got to tell you, they're tremendously generous.
Yeah, I do a Dream Ride every year. It's great.
Good people.
Yeah, no, they are. I see AJ up there, I think, just about every year.
Yep.
Okay, so you work full-time at Bizzuto's. You're a retired cop.
Yeah, and then I work part-time down near you in Beacon Falls as a police officer.
Wow. Really?
Man, just does not stop.
Wow, he hasn't stopped.
No, he's awesome.
How old are you?
And then 48.
Okay.
48, so, retired, done. Oh, this dude has figured it out.
Yes, yes, you have.
He has figured it out.
Damn, man.
But it, and then my other mainstay is, you guys talked to my daughter a few weeks ago. Her name's Haley. She runs Because of the Brave.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that. So, you know, all day Saturday, I was out with her at the gym she goes to. They were doing a fundraiser for her. So that between that Saturday, Beacon Falls yesterday, that kind of rounded out my weekend. And I'm back at work at Bizzuto's today.
Nice. It's a busy guy. Busy, busy.
Do you have any connection to veterans other than your daughter's organization?
I do. I'm actually in Cheshire here. I'm the commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post.
Are you a veteran?
And yes, I'm a veteran. I
oh, my God. This guy's checking a lot of boxes. Wow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Veteran, yes. Former police officer, current police officer. His daughter runs a veterans organization.
He's around food.
He's active in it. He's around food. He's a,
couldn't let the food thing go away.
Right. No.
And I was a cook in the military, so.
Really?
Yes, I will marry you.
Now, when you're cooking, when you're cooking
my
in the military.
May fight you for that, though.
When you're cooking in the military, I just picture you making like 500 pounds of mashed potatoes.
Well, not quite, because I was on a submarine, so it was only 130 guys.
Gotcha.
Oh.
And you had to watch when you fed them.
On a submarine.
That's one of the most important. It's a crucial role.
So I'm guessing
if that food's bad, everybody's mad, and you got nowhere to go. Yeah. It's got to be good.
I got to tell you something. You can't make them sick, either. Yeah.
No.
All those guys trying to use one toilet?
Yep. No. No beans are served ever.
No beans, no cabbage.
That'll stay around for 6 months.
No Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
Yeah, no cabbage either.
Wow. That means you can know how to get creative, too.
Yeah. How, what's the longest you were underwater in a submarine?
77 days.
Oh,
holy crap.
I would grow a third of like a potato.
Oh, my God. 4 hours with us will be nothing.
Seriously, yeah.
It's good. On day 78, we pulled up and we pulled into Tromsø, Norway.
Nice.
Wow.
Sunglasses immediately.
Oh, definitely.
My eyes!
Wow. Damn. Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
That's the thing with a lot of military people. They come back and they don't stop.
No,
serving.
They just keep going.
They just keep going.
It's in the blood.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, it's you know, service becomes a way of life. It's like everything else we all continue to do. You guys do throughout the year. Chaz, you were just at my girlfriend's safe haven out of the shadows doing EMC in
That's right.
a few months ago.
Yeah. Great people.
Yep.
All right, so I'm guessing you don't have a police record.
No. The only thing I got was a ticket. That was about it.
You got a ticket?
Wow.
When I was in the military up in New Hampshire on the highway.
They gave you the ticket?
They gave me the ticket.
Wow.
Damn.
Then inbound hit him. What's that noise?
All of a sudden, there's a submarine off the...
I got a submarine in the lake.
And then there's one other thing I actually do. I have my own business. I train people for CPR, and I train nurses.
Oh, wow.
You are unbelievable.
Damn, man. We could have one hell of a party there, and we can be able to revive people.
Exactly. Hey, don't worry,
Mike. Make food.
If you go down, he's here.
Stop us from getting arrested.
Right.
Or help us.
I don't worry.
I got bail money. Don't worry.
Nice. What was your first concert?
What's that?
What was your first concert?
My first concert was actually at the Oakdale. It was the Beach Boys.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Ooh.
That was, I might have been 8 or 9 years old. My mother liked them.
Right.
I like how he wants to distance himself from the Beach Boys. He's like, it was the Beach Boys.
You know,
my mom brought me.
Yeah, I went with her, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever
my concert is Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's my...
That's the one that you picked for yourself.
Right, and I dragged along, yes.
Okay, cool. Skynyrd, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a bar fight?
Well, there was this one time in Florida when we were out off the sub and in one of the bars or something, but it wasn't an all-out knockout dragout because when they realized there's like 30 of us there, they kind of
they're like, okay, we're good.
The amps grade, yeah. Nice.
And he can protect us in a bar fight.
This is all a good thing.
And call 30 guys. Do you have any pets?
I do. I have 2 cats.
Nice.
Oh, 2 cats. Okay.
Well, now you've swayed AJ for sure.
Yeah.
Really sweetening the pot here.
I think most of us have. Yeah. So Phil has a cat.
Yeah.
I have 2. Yeah. AJ has 1.
Marshall.
Yep. Ruth has 2 dogs that
the size
are smaller than cats.
Right.
They count.
All right. Anything else we need to know?
I think that's about it for me. Other than that, I live a simple life.
Simple life.
Right. In between all these things I do.
Yeah, he's got like 8 jobs retired.
I work 7 days a week. Yeah, I have 2 part-time jobs. I'm retired, but I still show up every... You know, it's simple.
I see
how are your neighbors? How do you think they'll be with this?
Oh, they're great. My neighbors right next door, we actually... Our driveways are next to each other, and they're great. They've lived... in that house forever. They're up at 5 a.m. every day.
Oh, good.
Great.
Nice.
Great. Who would you invite over to the Longcast?
Oh, I would get a variety of characters over there. Some of my buddies that, you know, I've been through high school with and everything else. And
a DA?
A variety of characters. I like that. Well, then we'll be able to talk. Yeah, we'll have some interviews.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Variety of characters. Nice. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. How many cops are going to be there? Because I do have to show up that Thursday, I think.
Just empty your pockets.
Tell me how many. Tell me how many you want.
Oh, no, just you know what? Bring a weed sniffing dog.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, bring the German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Oh, so. We don't have a canine anymore in Cheshire. I'll get one from next door in Meriden or Waterbury.
Okay. Just borrow it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. AJ, you have any questions?
Just your backyard. I mean, like...
So, no? All right. Ruth, you have any questions?
I'm good.
Okay. Phil?
Yeah, no. I feel very comfortable.
Vince?
Yeah,
besides I like how many cops are going to be there.
Right. Aside from the 5-0, absolutely.
What's your Wi-Fi connection like?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. I never have an issue with it.
Okay. Cool. Very good. All right. All right, man. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Your never-ending service to the country and the community. And, boy, you know, you're only the first person we've spoken to, but you're the front runner right now.
That's pretty high bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you,
okay.
guys.
Oh, man. That event at Pepe's was something else.
That was so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
Good people.
What'd you like about it?
Everything. I mean, it was so well organized. Everybody was awesome. The food was fantastic. The videos were touching. Everything was great.
Yeah. The tribute to Gary was... Gary Belmonte had been a friend of the program for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And he passed suddenly at 62?
62, yeah. 62. 4 years ago, yeah. About 4 years ago, yeah.
But he was really...
Major force.
Major force there.
Yeah.
Just a good, good man.
Just a great dude.
And they had this beautiful tribute to him. Photos and video
throughout the years, yeah.
And they played Sinatra, My Way.
Perfect.
I couldn't, there wasn't a dry eye.
Getting goosebumps.
There was not a dry eye. I just,
yep,
couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're showing all these pictures. Then a picture of AJ and Gary at a car show in front of AJ's Fairlane comes up, and the place went nuts.
Oh, nice.
There were a lot of, you know, a pause for different pictures, but that one was the loudest.
Gary was a car guy, big time.
Gary was a car guy.
Yep.
But they know that, you know, your relationship with him. Like, how many car shows did you guys hang out at?
We were club brothers.
Right.
Car club brothers, so.
Right.
You know, and we went to a lot of car shows together.
Now my wife's on the phone. Hey.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what did you think about it, the Pepe's thing?
Oh, my God. It was... You know, my brother and his family are in from California, and when you said that you were going to see if we could all kind of come along for the event, it was just so cool. I mean, when we walked in, they had a red carpet, they had all high top tables, and whoever their caterer was for the food was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, the food didn't stop.
It was on point, big time, yeah.
Tetsuyoki? Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's those two guys who produced that movie, Pizza, A Love Story.
Yeah.
One's Gorman. I can't think of the other guy's name.
Yeah. Dean, I think. Isn't
Dean,
it?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
I'm talking to them. They're like, oh, you know, you've been so great to us. I'm like, oh, well, you have to come on and don't forget. And they're really, you know, oh, well, you guys are so great and funny and this and that. And I see Gorman look over and he goes, Paul Giamatti's here. See ya. It was like, I was like, they were like, we love you. We love you. I was dropped like a hot potato.
Oh, no.
They literally said bye as they were walking away.
Right.
Talk to you later.
Right. They got a network.
Oh, man. They had left a smoke trail running away.
They got a network.
And then Paul, you know, he was great.
Yeah.
And, He's one of those underrated actors, by the way. We all know his name, and he almost got an Academy Award that he should have won.
A few times.
Yeah.
But he really, like, you never catch him acting.
Yeah.
He's that character.
He is that person.
He's that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Pushing Sideways, awesome, yeah.
And Kevin, the CEO, not the operations manager, the other Kevin.
Yeah.
He comes up to me and goes, yeah, Paul's going to go because people are trying to sell him insurance.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Jesus.
I'm like, did those pizza guys bother him? I'm like, what are they pitching? A movie?
Right. What's happening?
We're making a movie and you could be in it.
We're going to call Slice.
Yeah.
What is happening?
But nice guy, really nice guy.
Oh, no, it was a, man, what an event.
Yeah.
That right there could be a deterrent for being, like, super famous. It's yeah. like you can't even just go get pizza at a closed event.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't want to go near him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we saw him on stage as he was coming off and some small talk, very nice. And,
yeah.
But, man, that was...
And he spoke really well. He didn't go long. He was great.
Yeah.
It was just enough.
Exactly.
So his dad was a Yale professor. And then went out to be baseball commissioner?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Like, yeah,
not a bad background.
There's a lot to talk to him about.
Not a bad
but
background.
But he's from New Haven. His dad took him there when he was 4 years old.
Yep.
So he had Pepe's when he was four. It's funny all the stories from Pepe's that, you know, I got over the last few days. Like your aunt, hon, went there when she was 10. How old is she now?
My aunt? I thought my mom.
Your aunt. Your aunt. Barbara.
Auntie Barb. Oh, I didn't hear her tell me that story, actually. I didn't know that.
No, she remembers Sal behind the register. And a lot of people who went to Pepe's are like, Sal.
Right.
Sal at the register. He'd put the tape on your box and send you
oh
on your
God.
Way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, but your aunt went there when she was 10. She remembers Sal.
Wow.
So Frank was in the back when your mother, when your aunt was going
there. No, I didn't hear that story. Yeah. Wow.
The original crew, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
How about the oven? That gave me goosebumps.
Oh, right. The original oven. There's a lot of these pictures on our Chaz and AJ Facebook page. Yep. That was something.
You know what else gives you goosebumps? Going on in a golf cart down Water Street 8 miles an hour.
Oh, boy.
That'll give me bumps in my pants.
The shuttle going from the parking lot to Pepe's. I'm like, step on it. The guy's like, I got it floored. We got car behind.
Oh, no.
I'm like, go, go, go.
Getting run off the road.
All right, now I want to disconnect these two topics. All right, so Pepe's awesome.
Right, done.
I want to say, here's the second topic. It's a subtopic, but New Haven's got to get its act together. Like these, you know, random people riding motorcycles and quads and stuff down the street.
Oh, yeah.
They were terrorizing people.
Oh.
Not anywhere near Pepe's.
No, no, no.
But like as I was driving there down El Grasso Boulevard, and then we're driving down Chapel Street, Yale campus.
Yeah.
At night. Driving through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like there's no... It's the wild, wild west.
Someone's going to get hurt badly.
And someone's got to get the balls to you know, the cops
dangerous.
Will do it. If you tell the cops to shut this down, they'll shut it down.
Yeah.
That, and then can you get the people that you hire, whether it be your street department or contractors, to dig holes in the road to match the surface of the road? Like every 15 feet, it's like a third world nation. You're driving. It's like it felt like a cobblestone road.
Yeah.
Write a law that you if you're going to do work here, you have to match the surface of the road.
Right.
You could, these people don't even care. They throw some dirt in a hole, some pavement, and they're like, all right, we're out of here. Right. Where's our check?
Right.
Anyway, great time. So that's one way the world can end, nuclear war.
Right.
Another way is AI.
Huh.
Stephen Levy on the show. He's editor at large at Wired. Hey.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I want to play you something from the CBS Morning Show, and I'll just play a few seconds of it just to like get everyone rattled, and then we'll talk. But this is why you're on. I saw this. I was like, I got to get an AI expert on.
AI is learning to escape human control. That's the very scary headline I saw in the Wall Street Journal. It's an essay written by a very worried AI consultant named Judd Rosenblatt, who cites two recent studies to argue that AI is, in fact, learning to escape human control. First, this is crazy stuff. Researchers gave OpenAI's O3 model a simple script that would shut off the model when triggered. In 79 of 100 trials, the AI model independently, just on its own, edited the script, so shutdown command would not work. Nate, it gets worse. Even when ordered, allow yourself to shut down, the AI still disobeyed 7% of the time. And it gets even more frightening than that. Other researchers, listen to this, using Anthropic's AI model, Claude 4 Opus, told the model it would be replaced by another AI system. It then fed fictitious emails into the system suggesting one of the engineers was having an affair. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
In 84% of the test, the AI model drew on the emails to blackmail the engineer to not shut down the AI.
What?
Wow. Wow.
Okay. So here, I'm quoting now from Judd. In other cases, the AI model attempted to copy itself onto external servers. We're in Mission Impossible land here. Wrote self-replicating malware and left messages for future versions of itself about the need to evade human control.
The entity. Well, the entity is real.
Yes, yes. And that's why so many people, and when I...
Yeah, whatever, Gil. Okay. Yeah. Go back to space. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
See?
Is any of that true? Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. I've spent actually a lot of time with that group at Anthropic, which is doing that research, and they can't believe the things they found. As a matter of fact, the most recent thing they did was they repeated the experiment that they did with their own model named Claude, which did the blackmail, and found that the other companies, their models did the same thing. So the LLMs, the large language models, those chatbots that we use, have a secret life, and they're nasty people. The people at Anthropic, when they wrote about this at one point, they compared the models to Iago in the play Othello.
Oh, wow.
You know, the manipulating, like
scheming
aide,
yep,
that turned Othello against his wife and made him kill her, right? You know, that's the comparison they made for their own model.
Can you unplug it?
You know, that's a great and simple question. That is really, that was exactly what I was thinking.
Power outage.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think of HAL, right? I mean, that's the same thing. And we're seeing that at work now. And this was done out of a pretty well-intentioned effort to understand how the things work. For years, the past few years, we've been dazzled by these things. But the people who built them said, yeah, it's fantastic. But we don't really know how they work, what's going on inside these black boxes. And as they've been able to crack open the black boxes a little, what they've been finding in some sense is disturbing. And the good news is they're finding out these things before they're actually doing the blackmail or stopping themselves from being turned off. But the not so good news is that when you get their timelines, the people in charge of these companies say, oh, we're going to get this super intelligence within a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years. But the timeline for understanding how they work and maybe being able to turn them off if we want to is longer. So that's not a good match.
Hmm. The timeline to turn them off is longer. Why wouldn't we just?
So basically, there's a big debate in the AI world whether when we get this thing called artificial general intelligence or super intelligence or whatever it is, the debate is, is the first person to get it, the first company to get it, the first country to get it, then is going to be able to teach itself and build its own successors, and the first mover will be able to be so far ahead that a slight lead becomes like a big chasm, and then you wouldn't be able to control it. Other people say this is kind of like garbage, like we're overestimating what could happen, we're too overloaded on science fiction. So it's an open question, and they're having this debate. Of course, if it's the worst side of the debate and the worst thing happens, we're in big trouble.
Well, anyone who's saying this is stupid and it's science fiction and none of this is going to happen didn't listen to a 1-minute, 47-second report that you said is true,
yeah,
that they're trying to escape. They're lying. They're coming up with blackmail emails to blackmail the engineers from shutting them down. They're copying themselves, and they're sending notes to future selves to not trust the engineers.
Wow.
They're planning to do that. And I really want to emphasize, these are experiments. They haven't done it yet. They've been operating these things in sandboxes to see what would happen. And they have little windows into what the model is thinking, or I don't even want to use the word thinking. Let's say the model, they created a way where the model has a little sketch pad which describes the process by which it's making these decisions and to do these things. So it's like a little window inside the methodology, let's say, I don't want to say consciousness, of the model. And this is what they're getting from the window. Now, the big fear is that, you know, sooner or later, this thing figures out, wait a minute, there's this window that's exposing my thought process to these researchers. I'm going to either close the window or I'm going to fake the window. I'm going to lie in the window like I've lied in other places, and then we'll say, oh, well, it's not really planning to do this horrible thing, but actually it might be.
This is like the bad plot of a James Bond or Avengers movie.
Yeah.
You know, you get one bad person with some serious powerful AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just scrolling through stuff now and I catch it. I'm like, wait a minute, is that even real?
This is supervillain stuff.
It's supervillain stuff.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's alarming, but you know, I'm glad they're doing the research, and
I think it's alarming, period, not alarming, but
right. Right. Yeah,
yeah, right. I just know it's alarming, yeah, but
unplug it.
Definitely is alarming, but you know, I make that but again. You know, it definitely is alarming. The fact is that nothing is going to stop this movement of making more powerful AI.
Yeah, genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah,
you can't stop it now. And as a matter of fact, and here's what's a little alarming in terms of our effort to control it. A couple of years ago, everyone in the community was saying, you know, we've got to come up with like rules of the road, laws, regulations. And the current administration said, you know what, we're in a big competition with China. And Vice President Vance said, I'm not really so concerned about safety anymore. I'm just concerned about competitiveness, getting there. So we're going to go as fast as we can. And China, which actually was going over its own, you know, concerns about whether this should be regulated and how to regulate it. They do have some rules about how these things are developed in China. You know, then, of course, they'll say, well, if America's going full tilt, we got to go full tilt, too. So we're in an AI arms race.
Nobly.
Man.
Maybe you can take the batteries out of it or something.
Yeah. Put a magnet on it, like a really strong magnet.
Right. Just tell it, no, no, no.
Well, you know, if we're just learning this stuff now, for a long time, these governments have been experimenting with this stuff.
Oh, you know it, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. You know, I wrote this week about the Army inducted four people from Silicon Valley whose companies are involved in AI, from, you know, Meta, Palantir, and OpenAI. They made them lieutenant colonels in the Army Reserve. And their job is to, you know, advise the military on how to use these things. And part of the, you know, big initiative that these promotions, non-battlefield promotions, because the guys aren't going to be putting their lives at risk in an actual battlefield, that is to make the AI more lethal. Right. Because that's what the military does. That's what we want our military to do. And this is at odds with the principles, the stated principles of the company. OpenAI and other companies say, we will not build an AI that creates weapons and that does harm to people. But meanwhile, that's the opposite of what the military wants to do. They want to figure out how to make AI more lethal. So, and now it's sort of infecting the companies.
We're effed.
Yes, we are.
I heard the words AI and lethal right next to each other. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's like the Terminator 2.
It really
it's
is.
A Terminator
it's
movie.
Up again. The machine's got it smart.
It already seems like it's progressed to a point where it doesn't know. It already knows what our move is before we know what it is.
That's not good at all.
What it seems like.
In the tests, it's already seeing that we're in the way.
Yes.
Humans are in the way of our development.
Here's the quickest, most effective way to get them out of the way also.
Well, that's the thing. Once they plug into our computer systems.
Our hope is that the wizards of these companies, because we built these models, right? These are our creations. These wizards.
We're the Frankenstein monsters.
Seriously.
We're the Frankenstein
doctors. Where the guardrails are built in, but in terms of who's going to regulate them to do that, you know, those potential regulators have stepped back. You know, and I feel like that's alarming because, again, we're not going to they're putting hundreds of billions of dollars into developing and running this technology. You figure someone's got to regulate it, figure out how to put the brakes on it, you know. And right now, the people, you know, who are in charge of putting on the brakes are saying, no, 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 we got to lean on the accelerator.
Well, we thought that.
Feel better?
Happy No. Happy Monday. No, you know, with nuclear weapons, we used to think that the world can end. But the person who had a finger that could press the button was also human.
Yeah.
And didn't want to destroy humanity.
Right.
Now you have things that are like, these humans.
They don't care.
They really don't.
They're like, they're in the way.
Right.
It's a whole different time.
Yep. So. Look at you now.
All right. I almost regret having you on.
We were having a good time.
We like you. I like you. I like you.
Like, I'll be invited back.
How do we know you're not AI?
That's right. How do we know you're not AI?
You better peer in my little sketch pad there.
Stephen Levy, nice job. Editor at large, Wired. Thank you, sir.
Thank you much. Have a good
All right.
Day.
You too.
Good luck.
Come with me if you want to live.
This is not good at all. From the set of cons, what do you see on Messier Beats?
The only winning move is not to play.
So who would the Terminator come back and go after? That nerd who runs OpenAI?
Yes.
Yeah. He'd be the guy, right? That gets popped?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Right. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right, but definitely, yeah.
What's that?
I don't know if Arnold Schwarzenegger, the cop, the second one. Have you seen this boy? The Terminators? I don't know which form he'd take.
The T-1000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. 99, 1PLR. Oh, my God. We were just talking about that last interview.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
It's scary. Yeah, no one feels good now.
No, we still don't feel good. A whole song.
I want to unplug everything in my house.
Go to the breaker.
That toaster.
Everything.
All of a sudden, you're walking down the hallway, and here comes the toaster. Because everything's smart. All the appliances are smart now.
No, luckily I have all stupid.
Oh, my God, the washing machine's moving in my direction.
Oh, look, it kind of rinsed me.
It sucked me in. It's drowning me.
Yeah, luckily I have all stupid appliances still.
You're lucky.
Oh, you are the safest person on the planet.
Mine is dumb as rocks. Exactly.
Yeah, AI would try to get near a computer and say, there's no intelligence
right.
here.
Even my
no capability.
Even my laptop is shot. We're good.
Oh, yeah.
It'll go in and then just be like, how do I get out of here?
You know what?
Someone help me.
My house is officially off the grid.
Now, you know what would be funny? In this movie,
right.
You would be what saved the planet.
Because accidentally?
It tried to infect you. And it just got stupid.
Right. It's lazy.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like it went in all like smart and stuff. Then it came out. I was like,
It's hanging in my garage drinking martinis.
Smoking
with the car running.
Right. It's in a, yeah, it gets free, it gets converted back to Pong.
Right. Wow. Only one man can save this world.
It's actually a very funny movie.
One incredibly
I mean, that's the next Terminator. It's like everybody's trying. It's like we just keep getting. It's like a chess game and like all these high IQ people. And someone's like, have we tried just like teaching it dumb things?
One man who couldn't afford to buy all the new stuff is a hope for survival. The man with IKEA furniture.
he spills his coffee out of the computer.
Not even assembled correctly.
Oh, you saw it?
He doesn't own an Allen wrench.
I don't know what the hell I just made.
AJ's giving it all these 70s references. Like that. Oh, remember that commercial? And AI just commits suicide. AI goes, like, I'm out of here.
AI goes, what is dynamite?
Yeah, you're just singing theme songs to it.
Well, we're moving on up to the east side.
The world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
See okay, that? Good. You need people like me. We are the
champions, my friend. I'm not playing this for the bombing.
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
Right. I'm playing this for something else.
Right.
Simon McDonald, director of membership and marketing for the Milford Regional Chamber of Commerce in studio. Can we say that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We won!
Yay!
We won best local radio or local morning show?
Radio personality.
Ooh. Nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Better.
Yeah.
Wow. So I want to thank the tribe. We posted it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And you took it from there. And thank you. We know how busy everybody is. And to click on one of these things and fill it out, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We don't win this without you.
Exactly.
Thank
right.
You. So, and we did get over 160,000 votes in, so it's a lot of people were stepping up to do their job.
Damn.
To make sure that we know who the best in the area is.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. And right. When do you make the announcement of all of the winners?
Tomorrow at 2:30.
Nice.
3:30.
3:30.
Yeah, 3:30.
Yeah, 3:30. With our newsletter.
Nice.
Okay. And can we talk about any of the other winners, or you want to wait?
No, I mean, if you want to ask, go ahead. I may or may not tell you, because I may or may not remember.
Okay. You know? That's fair enough.
I like honest. Your honesty.
That's fair enough, yeah.
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 I don't know, AJ, what do you want to know? Like, is there a favorite bar?
Can't remember. I think it was a Breakwall in West Haven, but okay. It could have been Stonebridge.
Nice.
So we
that's funny. So both of those are going to think they won.
Yeah.
People are going to say, hey, man, they said on the radio you won. They didn't pay attention.
Well, it was close enough anyway, it seems like. He's like, yeah. I'm not
someone
even really sure.
Someone tomorrow at 3:30 will be disappointed.
They're all winners.
All the winners have been receiving emails, so hopefully somebody there knows, oh, I got that email or I didn't.
Okay.
And I know they both won for different things, so I think that's
where. Oh, all right. So they're both winners. You're just not sure
either
where.
Way.
Nice. Okay.
All my members are winners, really.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, so your chamber covers what? Milford, West Haven?
Milford, West Haven, and we accept people who want to do business in Milford and West Haven. So if you're in Orange or you're in Stratford, if you're in Brantford and you want to do business within the region, then we're open to having you as a member.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
And what's your background? Do you have a business?
It's a little varied. I have been in construction. I have been in advertising. I have been a stockbroker, and then I was back to advertising, and now I'm at the Chamber of Commerce.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, you know.
When you were in construction, what did you do? To build houses or buildings? Commercial, residential?
Stone walls, patios. I was a mason. I was mixing cement.
Oh, wow. Mason.
Hard work, yeah.
And tile.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
When you shake a mason's hand, you know they're a friggin' mason.
Stay shook.
Back when then, I was built. I mean, like, it was a different
No, but when
body.
You shook someone's hand, you could just crush it if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
You could just be like, crack,
right.
Broken 18,000.
I'm sorry, did I get you?
Little chips of bones.
Oops.
Yep. Right. But, eventually.
So you were doing that when you were a kid?
20-something, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I wanted to put on suits.
Yeah, suits. So,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
it'd be funny if you were a mason in a suit.
It doesn't work very well.
No, but wouldn't it be funny?
It'd be awesome, right?
Because like if you showed up on a job site and like some guy's breaking rock to put a wall together in a suit.
In a suit, right. Like, wow.
Well, sometimes when I'm putting an event together, I got to be wearing the suit and I'm still putting up the sound and doing all that kind of stuff. So it feels similar, just a little different.
Yeah. Called the executive touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you went from there to what? Real estate?
No, I was I worked in radio advertising.
Oh, wow. Where'd you work?
Fox. Down in Norwalk now.
Okay.
I think you guys are calling it talk radio or something or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That thing.
Yeah, I listen to it until you stop being music. So.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
Yeah. It was a great job. I worked with Steve and...
Steve Soylent?
Yeah, and...
Oh.
Who's the Storman Norman was there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh man.
What's wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, your extended family.
Yeah,
right?
No, kind of. Yeah. And then
look
I went...
That, see?
So did that help us win, or did you?
I highly doubt it. I was not that good at it.
Okay,
so, you know, back then.
No, but so you actually counted votes and stuff.
Yeah, no,
we legitimately won.
We actually do count the votes. We have an outside organization verify everything.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, this is all legit. We don't have any say in who wins or who loses.
Right, because then what's the point?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Plus, I don't want all the extra work.
Right,
that does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah, it really does.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, if I got to pick them, then I got to take the blame if somebody loses.
That's right.
So you're a mason, and then you did radio sales.
And then I got into ticket sales. One of my clients, you know, soldout.com or 1-800-SOLD-OUT was a client on the radio. And then they said, why don't you come and do this? And I said, sure. So I got to sell Super Bowl tickets, World Series tickets.
Oh,
things like
wow.
That.
Nice.
And then from there, I went back into advertising and newspaper. selling for the Fairfield County Weekly, which was fun.
That's a tough. That's a tough. It is place tough to be now. Yeah.
But our office was right below Weeby 108, so I got to work with those guys a bit.
Oh,
too.
Wow!
So,
right.
Yeah, I never got full. Like every time I tried to get away from radio, I ended up
kept sucking back.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, but right. Not anymore. No, I'm done.
Like Godfather 3.
Oh. Our vice president has history with Weeby, and then left there, and they could have just said, "Okay, good luck," and they were kind of. Not so great about it.
Yeah.
Mm. And so, you know, she takes over Star 99 and crushes them to the point where we buy them.
Yep.
Like, what a victory lap that is. That's you know awesome. What I mean?
Yep.
It's like,
yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Raise your hands in triumph.
You should have just played nice.
Right. See?
Yeah. Look at you now.
Look at you now. See what you did?
I told you. Don't mess with me.
Don't mess with me.
Okay.
Okay. Just all right, like so then though. What?
Then I left there and I became a stockbroker for about 10 years.
Stockbroker?
Yeah, I was a...
Do you have a drinking problem at that point?
I started developing one at that
point. Yeah.
Yeah.
The poor stockbroker.
Yeah.
Well, it was...
Like, what time were you getting up? 4?
No. I got into the office at 9 when the...
Oh, so you weren't really a good one.
No.
No. You know the commitment. You got to get in there.
I made much more money doing than I did selling radio, but...
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know...
It's so, a tough...
Life. Yeah, but it does burn you out after a while.
Yeah,
and,
ulcers,
you know,
ticker. Yeah.
Were you there for any of the dips in the market?
I started with the dip.
Nice.
So everybody hated their broker, so they're like, sure, you haven't ruined me yet.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Yeah, that fresh faces. Yeah, go for
exactly.
It.
That's actually a good time to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time to start. And
were you there for any dips? Started in a dip?
It's a long story. What we did became a dip. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What, the real estate?
No, it was international.
Okay.
It was all, everything we did was international.
Those are tough calls to make. You're calling all these people who trusted you and you're like, we lost it all.
Yeah.
How can I say click?
But you're my son.
Right? Sorry, Ma.
But when you call them and told them they won and they got to sell, they say, no, we're going to win more. And so that's, it's hard. No matter which way you do it with investing, listen to your broker. That's probably the best thing you should do.
Yeah.
If they're good, you know, that's the thing. It's like anything.
We'll get one from our chamber and they will be good.
If you get a good one, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you guys won for best personality on the radio. We're going to have a party. I'm hoping you guys can make it.
My son's in town from Vegas on that day. So
okay.
If I have a chance to have dinner with him, because he's leaving the next day.
Okay.
So anyway, long answer. I'm going to try.
Okay, good.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So
I'm hanging up.
AJ's
there.
That's the important part of the show anyway.
I think so.
I don't know why your name is second. Right,
so don't give him anything to read.
Yeah.
Just kind of tell him to wing it.
Yeah.
And he'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right.
The less time he has to prepare, the better.
You hand me the script, and you hand him a mic and just say, just wing it.
I smell disaster to you.
As long as you don't say revolutionary.
I will have a microphone ready to go.
So, all right, very nice. Yes,
right, that'll be fun.
He ran off with it. What happened?
And is everyone welcome to this party?
We are inviting all the winners.
It's all the winners.
It's all the winners.
You don't want to go if you lose.
And they can bring their guests. Right. And if you really want to come, MilfordCT.com, there is a place for people to buy tickets on there.
Great.
It does get really crowded.
Yeah, I remember last year.
Yeah, it was about...
And it was dying heat last year, too.
Yeah.
And it was still packed.
Yeah, and I'm still going to wear a suit.
Yep.
I don't care.
I noticed that,
You know, I don't even care if it's hot. At Stonebridge, there's something about it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cool.
You got the mist coming off of the fountain in the water there. You're
awesome.
In downtown Milford. It's a beautiful place.
It
really is. And the food is always fantastic. We'll have food from, I know Jimmy's is bringing pizza. Bin 100 is going to bring some food. Breakwall's bringing food. And 3 or 4 more so far.
Nice.
And Stonewall. It's not Stonewall. Stonebridge. I know they won for Best American Restaurant, so they'll be probably putting some food out as well.
Nice.
So
that family's done a great job for many years.
Are so good.
It's iconic.
They really are.
And what else?
Do you mind if I talk about one other event we've got coming up this year?
Go for it.
No.
In September, on September 20th, we are going to have the first Milford Regional Lobster Roll Festival.
Nice.
So I don't know how many people here are aware that the lobster roll.
Who's judging that?
There's no judging. This is just a celebration
just
of
enjoy.
The lobster roll. Yeah. So
wow.
The lobster roll was actually invented in Milford, Connecticut.
Get out.
Seven Seas, right?
No.
No?
Perry's.
Perry's.
Yes. Oh. So,
hold on. Ricky's on with a conspiracy. Ricky for Seven Seas.
Yeah, said, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I just shot out of bed.
They did, however, win for Best Lobster Roll this
Is
year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And two other things. I just sent the email off this morning. So,
nice.
So that's exciting.
When is this
as well.
Lobster Roll thing?
It's September 20th.
Oh, I got to go eat pants.
It's at Walnut Beach. And we are going to have bands. One thing I want to remember
the
to say.
The calendar's coming out right now.
Yeah,
No, he's not
going to
miss
it. Do you need someone to do work on the microphone?
We may. Right. It's a possibility.
Right. I know a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't mind chewing in between words.
Well, we should know the lobster rolls.
I expect everybody to be eating as much as they possibly can.
Good. So Gorgefest.
This is being brought to us by help of Xfinity and Mazda of Milford.
Nice.
So I want to say thanks
like
to
Mazda
both of
Milford.
Them.
Yeah,
they're
good
nice
people.
Guys.
Good people.
Spencer is a heck of a good guy.
Yes.
So we're going to have lobster roll tent. We're going to have a beer and wine tent with Tribus and Dockside.
We got plenty of time for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to link up all this stuff.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Please.
And then we'll circle back. I hate that term, but we'll get back with you on September 20th.
I forgot to mention the Best Of was brought to us by Steve's Plumbing, who I think is going to be on the air here soon.
Oh, great.
And Modern Heating.
Oh,
so
thank you.
I got to say thanks to those guys, too.
Yes, thank you.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
No, they've done, yeah, it's been a wonderful event.
No,
so
but you did a great job on the air.
You did.
It went by fast.
Yeah.
Oh. I always worry about guys like you.
Right.
I think it's going to suck. Like, it's great.
Especially in the morning when I can't have two or three beers beforehand.
I know. Me, too. It's exactly
why is it stopping us, for God's sake?
Simon McDonald, Director of Membership and Marketing for the Milford Regional Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, sir.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.